Welcome back to the Hey Roadie podcast, where we take a deep dive into the Ocean State. These are your hosts, Chris and Jenna.
And we're back again, and this time Jenna is with it. I don't know which way the orders episodes are getting released, but we had to do one without Jenna, so welcome back.
I know, so sad.
We missed you. Rhode Island Native was super fun. And today we have, and I'm going to say your name right this time, maybe. Should we play a game and see how long we can intro before introduce them?
No.
No, we need to do Nathan. No, we've got Nathan David Walker. Do you go by the all three?
Or
is that just the
That's like my director title. It's like Paul Thomas Anderson type thing.
Yeah, but I was just listening to his wife on a podcast on the way here.
I said Maya Rudolph?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, Nate will suffice. Some people call me Nate Dogg, Papa Walker, Scar. A couple people call me Scar.
I'm Lion King, assuming.
Yeah, no, actually no one calls me Scar.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
You're like, I wish.
I wish. I do have a scar on my neck. That's why I'm trying to make it happen.
From how?
I had a thyroidectomy.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay. The whole thing taken out. I had, when I was like 24, oh, this is like really going deep, like right off the rip.
We've gotten to our first question, but let's see what happens.
Yeah, I had I went in for a physical, and the doctor was feeling around. He's like feeling around my neck, and he just kind of goes, huh. I don't know, like, what do you mean?
I wish doctors would not do that.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
all right, what's, huh? Like, is that bad? And he's like, well, it's probably nothing. I just want to send you in for an ultrasound. The ultrasound, I found two tumors in my neck.
Oh my goodness.
In the thyroid. I was 26, I think, 25, 26. They found two. They biopsied, they did like a needle biopsy. So you have to go in and they jab you. And they were like, they did 12 altogether. And they were like, okay, one of them is cancerous, one of them's not. So they had to take half of it out, and then I started recovering. 2 weeks later, I get a phone call, hey, you gotta come back in to get the other half taken out. So they took the entire thyroid out. So I have to like take like replacement hormones.
Oh, like, weird.
Yeah, your thyroid is like apparently a pretty important.
Yeah.
It's like your entire endocrine system it helps run, so your temperature, your energy levels, all that. Just I had no idea.
Trying to find a way for you to be like, it's not the tumor. Like, I would imagine that was.
It's not the tumor.
I've known you and your wife, you're movie obsessed, but we're going to jump into our first question. This what do you think makes Rhode Island so great?
Okay. What do I think makes Rhode Island so great?
Is it the roads?
So I was, you know, like I said before, I grew up in Mass, so, but Bristol County, Mass isn't that much different. Than Rhode Island. I like the, this sounds so cliche. I like the fact that there's a lot of waterfront, quick access to the ocean, really pretty scenery. For my purposes, I'm a photographer and I've worked in film as well. So a lot of the backdrops are kind of what I pay attention to the most. My wife and I have been living in Rhode Island now for like over 10 years. So we consider ourselves like, you know, Rhode Islanders at this point. I think that there's like a lot of history as well, obviously. Just in general, there's a lot packed and condensed into such a small state, the smallest, in fact.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. None of us are from Rhode Island. I find anyone who moves here loves it. And everyone who grew up here often kind of hates it or not hates, but like likes to complain a little bit more about it.
Right. Oh, well, yeah, that's
sometimes they're not wrong, but
that's the trademark of a true Rhode Islander is complaining about usually the commute time.
Yeah.
Which is kind of infinitesimal compared to most other places.
Until recently, until the bridge.
Oh, right. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now
you guys have a reason to complain.
Yeah.
Right. I haven't had to make, it's East Providence, right?
It's the Washington Bridge.
I haven't had to deal with that at all.
Stay blessed.
Yeah.
I hit it this morning.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Were you even come from East Providence, were you?
I come from Providence.
But it still fucks you up.
But because, like, there's all the backup traffic, it goes onto the main highway.
Yeah. That happens to me all the time. I'll get stuck in downtown I won't spend the whole time complaining about the stupid bridge. Someone should fix. I know you did mention before, I want to make sure we shout out your incredible wife, because that's how we met. I know I am friends with your wife. I met your wife first. Yes. And for a while, we didn't think you were real.
My better half.
Yeah, that was our joke, because my business partner friend, Nathan Peavy, and then we met Lauren. She came to one of our podcast meetups with the library crew. And I think it was like our first one. We had no idea who they were. We're like,
right?
How did you find out about this thing that we've been promoting publicly, inviting people to?
You're like, what?
We were just like in disbelief that anyone would show up.
Yeah.
And then just we all just became immediately friends, like just immediately. And then, but then every time we'd invite you, she'd invite you out, like you were working or something like that.
Oh, dude, I know. So, yeah, the you guys weren't sure if I existed, right?
For a while.
I'm still not sure, to be honest.
Yeah,
I get that.
I could be just like.
And then we were at one downtown. It was the podcast, I Hate That For You. It's a Camella, the influencer person.
I love that name. Hate That For You.
She's one on Squid Games.
Yeah.
She had like some.
Oh, I've heard of Camella. Yeah.
We went to like one of those events, and a bunch of us were like, I don't know, I don't think it's real. Like, I barely remember. And I think at one point, like, she wasn't angry, but I could tell that like a 25%, like, hold on. And she picked out your like engagement photos when you guys were at like the Avon and stuff. Like,
yeah.
I promise you, I think like Carl, our buddy Carl Bird, was like, I don't know, Lauren, those are pretty old. You could be divorced. Like, it became like a thing.
That's like a Ricky Stenicki kind of.
Yes, it was exactly
Ricky Stenicki.
Which I actually kind of liked.
You did?
Yeah. I
haven't seen it yet.
Love it, but it was a good
I know Jenna's shaking her head, like.
Yeah, it was okay.
I liked it just because Providence Monthly was in it. And then I totally stopped paying attention.
It's a good, like, take some edibles, play Grand Theft Auto, and have it on in the background kind of movie.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I don't know.
If those are the parameters, it's obviously Oscar-worthy, right?
Yeah. I don't ever take my judgment on movies very seriously. I'm never like, oh, no, I'm unfortunately fall into the like opposite of movie people of like, I'm like, just, I want everyone to have a good time.
Oh, okay.
I just want it to be fun. Like, I just want to enjoy.
There's a place for that for sure.
Yeah. But I also I don't consider myself like a movie snob or person.
A movie buff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a real big like popcorn movie kind of person at most.
Yeah, for sure.
It's some deep stuff.
I love myself a good 80s movie.
Yeah.
And that's what most 80s movies are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do.
And 90s too, honestly.
Yeah.
Like,
early 90s movies feel more like an 80s, at least to me. I feel like I watch probably more late 80s, early 90s stuff, if anything.
Yeah.
Movie-wise. And then, like, I watch a lot of comedy, a lot of Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And I'll watch some serious stuff here and there.
How do you feel about Con Air?
Oh, I fucking love Con Air.
Con Air is an amazing movie.
I actually prefer Face Off, but I do like Con Air as well.
Or as my friend like to say, Face Slash Off.
Yeah! Have you seen any of these? Kind of like
because
forgotten.
You guys are listening, you can't see my face. Yeah. I am totally confused. I've never heard of either of those.
They're like, Face Off?
Mm-mm.
They're like late 90s.
John Travolta, Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
John Travolta is like an FBI agent. Nicolas Cage is a criminal that he's like hunting. It's a John Woo movie, I believe. So it's like balls to the wall, crazy action.
Yeah.
And John Travolta has to get. Swaps faces with Nicolas Cage in the movie.
No, they
surgery.
They literally do a surgery and they cut each other's front of their faces off.
Yeah.
To put them on each other.
So
it's so bad.
Bad. It's good. It's amazing. I mean, Nicolas Cage at his prime.
It's peak Cage. Right? And my friend Max one of my good friends Max Baines, if he ever hears this, from college.
Is this Max Payne?
Baines.
Oh, okay, almost cool.
He's Baines from LA. Cool. He grew up in LA, but his parents were like caterers.
Sure.
So he always is like, I was the poor kid in Beverly Hills kind of guy.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
He is in that movie at the very end with the chorus because literally something fell through. Max, forgive me if I got your story wrong, but he was either in class or working with his parents. And they're like, we just need someone who could sing. And they literally it was like one of those, and they just grabbed it.
Yeah.
And he's in the movie because of that. So in college, he watched all the time.
Is that, he gets a, doesn't Nicolas Cage get a hand job from someone?
I wonder if Max
gave it. And he's like, oh.
I think that was it.
I just almost said Max. Something really bad.
Body,
Max.
I should have Max.
That's what I was going
to
say.
We should have him on next,
in real life.
I would love to talk to that guy.
We're still very good friends.
Stories.
I can text him right now. Did you give Nicolas Cage a hand job?
Chris is like, say less, I'm on it.
What was I? Oh, I was talking to my wife about this on the way here, actually. So speaking of like weird things, like when I came to Rhode Island, you know, like you guys have your staple foods and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I need to ask you guys this. So I was thinking, I want to know if you've ever heard of this. I was on the set of Good Burger too. I worked on that as the PA I was staffed on it throughout production. It was a quick shoot. But we were working at a Friendly's on Mineral Spring Ave, and they ordered a Dell's truck as like a crew favor for everyone.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm like, yeah, when I get time, I'm going to go get some Dells. There's like 200 backgrounds, this big like party scene. I'm kind of like sampling the different flavors, and that's the only question I'm waiting for. Like, oh, what flavor do you want? Like lemon, watermelon, whatever.
Yeah.
So I walk up and I go, she goes, oh, what flavor do you want? I say, lemon, you know, always lemon. And then she goes, do you want a pretzel? And I go, excuse me? She goes, do you want a pretzel? And I'm like, what do you mean? Is that a thing? And I look to my left and there's like a big
cylindrical container
of like pretzel rods. And I'm like, so I've never heard of that in my life. And I was asking people on set, and this is why I think we live in a simulation, okay? 100% of the people on set were like, oh yeah, I grew up with that. That's like a staple. That's a Rhode Island thing. The rest of everyone else was like, I have no idea. I've never heard that in my life. I personally, I've gotten Dell's Lemonade plenty of times. I've never seen the pretzel rod even offered.
Oh, I have. Yeah.
You have. Okay, so we're split here because Chris.
Well, now right? I'm like, I'm doing the thing in my head because I live by the, I go with the main Dell's on Oakland Avenue like a lot with my daughter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, am I remembering seeing a thing of pretzels to the left or am I now thinking I'm making it up?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Well, it's good because like, you know, when you sip the Dells, like most of the liquid part goes out, so you use the pretzel as like a stirrer.
Ooh!
So it like evenly mixes the frozen stuff with the liquid.
I will say it wasn't bad, right? Because of the salty and sweet, the juxtaposition was nice. And the only thing was the pretzel did get a little soggy after a bit, mm-hmm. which like for me I don't really care, but I can see some people being like, ah, it's not my thing. But it was so weird.
Does every Dell's offer a pretzel with it?
I don't. I had never heard of this until that moment.
I've had it, in Franklin.
You have Dell's in Franklin?
Okay.
But it's a Rhode Island thing. I didn't know they left Rhode Island.
Dell's is a Rhode Island.
Oh, so no, it wasn't like Dell's, but it was frozen like the lemonade.
Mm. Okay.
But with the pretzel.
Oh, it deep. Further's deepening.
So maybe it's maybe like a transplant from Mass, or it's just like a thing, you know?
I've never seen it offered.
We
should get Mr. Dell on here. Or Miss Dell.
I wonder though, maybe they hired. No, it would have been from Rhode Island. I don't understand because the lady was looking at me like I had three heads. And then I asked people, and the majority of people were like, no, I've never heard of that. And then a decent amount said, oh, yeah, sure.
So I just Googled it, and it says. Rhode Island, Dell's Lemonade in Rhode Island is served with pretzel sticks to add a salty flavor burst. So there's no real reason for it.
Oh, I just never been offered one.
But I wonder who the first person was that was like,
Yeah.
I wonder.
What was the Good Burger too? Was it like you could meet like Keenan and everybody?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm 39. I think Keenan might be my age or a little bit older.
Okay.
And I remember talking to Laura about this, and like I had this realization one moment of like I've been watching Keenan Thompson on television since I was a kid. I watched all that. I watched Keenan and Kel. And there's a little gap of time, and then he's been on SNL for what, like 15 plus years.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And like I don't like consistently watch SNL, but I do watch a lot of like the clips and stuff. Like
right.
I'm a big clip. Like I watch the good sketches kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm the
like,
same way.
He's just like been in my life forever without even realizing it.
Is he the longest recurring cast member?
I think he just beat out Tomatoes. Yeah, I think so.
Dude, yeah. So let me tell you a story of day one on Good Burger. It was like usually when I go on a film, like I don't immediately get kind of like starstruck by the people I'm working with. It kind of takes a little while for me to be like, oh, whoa, this is pretty cool. Like working with Daniel Craig or whatever, or Chris Evans or whatever. And
we're gonna come back to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I'm like, I know that name.
Yeah. I know
it was day one, and we started at the Friendly's turned into a Good Burger on Mineral Spring, and I remember handing out like name tags for everyone, getting to know everyone's name and all the department heads and stuff. And the first AD Ross was like, "So Kel's coming to set right now, and we gotta get everyone to say, welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger, yada yada." The whole crew to Cal when he shows up, and then you know get him pumped up, get him ready to go, like get him excited. And I was like, okay. And I was thinking, you know, he seems like a pretty excitable guy already, but sure, like I'll get the word out. So he comes to set. He lands in the production van. Transpo drops him off. We bring him inside, and we kind of get a little bit of a like a very staggered. Like some people are saying it, some people are, and I'm just kind of like.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, welcome to that. And it kind of peters off. And I'm like, oh, that was not great. I'm behind the counter at the Good Burger, like behind where like the fryolator and everything is. Kel goes, whoa, that was awesome. And then proceeds to parkour jump over the counter and land in front of me and turn to me and go, whoa, what's up, dude? And I'm just like,
you're like, what is going on? What?
Yeah, like, camera that just no, this is him. That's like his personality. Wow. He's, what's going on, man? I'm like, I'm good, Cal. How you doing, man? I'm kind of, and in that moment, it kind of hit me. I'm like, this is pretty cool. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm having a very, like, a moment like that. Yeah. Like, I don't know if this can be topped, you know?
Yeah.
And he was so nice. They were both super nice. Keenan's a lot more chill, laid back, kind of lets Kel like lead the charge a little bit. But I've never seen so much like fan service. They were out there almost every day.
That's what I've heard from people.
Dude, it was crazy. I would occasionally I'd walk out there with them and we'd have like a couple security guys and I'd be out there and production would be like, hey, stick with Keenan and Kel, make sure that they're not gonna get, you know, murdered or abducted by a fan. So I went out there and I remember the first time going out there with them, there was probably 150 people lined up on the sidewalk in Middle Spring Ave. And I put on my security vest and walked across the street with them. And there was no order to like, it was just chaos. Like all of a sudden we're in the midst of this crowd of people and everything kind of got like HD, like wide scope, like wide vision. And I was just like, whoa, this is like overwhelming.
Yeah.
People were like, oh, Kel, take my, like, Keenan, what? And like holding their phones and like already taking selfies without asking. I was like, this is a lot. Like, just for someone who had never been exposed to that, I'm like, this is a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And so we kind of got everyone to like, hey, guys, we're all adults here for the most part. Mentally, I'm not sure about the mental maturity of some people. But for the most part, it was adults. And I was like, guys, let's like kind of get in a single file line. Let's be a little bit more polite, you know?
Yeah.
But they were so great with the fans. They were super nice. Out there signing autographs, taking photos almost every single day after set.
That's wild.
And yeah, I was able to get a photo with Keenan, Cal, and Leslie Thompson, when she was there.
Was Lauren in that photo?
Lauren was in a different photo at the wrap party. We had party at United Skate.
That sounds awesome.
It was so sick. Yeah, there, like, I mean, Cal was out there on rollerblades, like skating around. Everyone's having drinks and barbecue and stuff. It was awesome. It was a good time. Rap party was great. But yeah, Lauren got to meet him, talk to him, and
you got some you got husband points.
Yeah, oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
Well, we gotta hear, I know you worked on Knives Out, which is, have you seen that movie?
What is it?
Knives Out with Daniel Craig, Chris Evans, and like everyone.
No.
It's actually
like everyone.
It's really good.
There's a lot of people in it.
If you like those like murder mystery whodunits, it's like it's almost like modern day Clue.
Yes.
A little more.
Yes.
I really like those movies.
I'd say it's sort of less serious in tone than like maybe an Agatha Christie, but.
Yeah.
It
was very good.
In that same vein.
And I'll put it this way. It held my attention at home without having to play video games or touch my phone.
Yeah.
When you know it's a good movie.
Yeah.
Is that usually your thing? You like to play video games while watching a movie?
I have super ADHD, so I just can't
do
anything. So if like, I have to watch a movie, I have to turn off all the lights. I have to turn off my phone. I have to like...
Whoa.
I have to like... I like going to the theater because I can actually focus.
The theater.
Or like, you know, zone out a little bit. But like that's one of those movies I can just... Whoa.
I love to go to the theater.
I know, except for me, it's like Fast and the Furious.
Oh, yeah.
Which I got into during the pandemic, but that's not important. I want to hear about Chris Evans.
Oh, okay, sure.
Where does that film?
So,
Mass, right?
So that was in Mass.
Where in Mass?
Dedham.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Dedham was the first place I worked. So I wasn't on the entire production. It was the first project I ever worked on.
Not a bad one.
Yeah, no, not bad at all. So I had come off of writing and directing my first feature called Leo and the Shark, which was actually filmed a lot of it in Rhode Island.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a lot of it in Newport, Tiverton, Cumberland. But so... My friend, one of my best friends at the time, who I had met on that, he had come on to work on the project. He was a sound recorder in like the boom op, and he went on to Little Women, which is filming in Boston, the Greta Gerwig movie. He went on to that as a background extra.
Oh, okay.
Right, and so we were all. I think I graduated from film school. I did school a little bit later. And I just graduated from film school, and I had put out a trailer for Leo. And I think they were looking for anyone who was semi-competent to be on set to work as like a PA. That's kind of how you start out. And my buddy Jesse went up to the KPA on Little Women and was like, hey, you know, if you have any jobs open, like, get me on set. So then I got a text one night. I was like, hey, if you could also just, like, put in a word for me, like, let them know I just finished directing a movie. Thinking, like, that had any pull with people at all. You know what I mean? And so I get a text at, like, 11. It was, like, 11 o'clock at night. And they're like, hey, can you be on set in Boston for this movie called Morning Bell at 4 a.m.? And I'm like, fuck yeah.
Say less.
Yeah, let's do it. Like, sure, why not? I mean, you know, like, so I show up and I have no idea what Morning Bell is. I'm thinking, oh, it must be Little Women. Like, that's the code name they're using for it. I show up and it's like me and this one other, like, little PA who, like, green, doesn't know anything. And me, this kid, Huck. I used to call him Huckleberry Wynn because he's like the shit. I love this guy. Huck Vaughn. God, where is he right now? Oh, yeah, I think he's still alive. Yeah, I talked to him. I think I'm friends with him on Instagram. Anyway, so.
He's in
ADD. Yeah, yeah. Where are you now,
Huck? Wow. I'm
shout out to Huck. So we go on set. It's freezing cold. It's like the end of November, and I'm there at 4 a.m. and have no idea what to do. And so I'm like texting the AD, and at the time, like, the people I was coming up under were kind of, let's just say they were very hands-off. Like, a lot of them like to party to the wee hours in the morning, and they come to set the next day and kind of, they weren't, like, no one was holding your hand. Like, you just kind of had to figure it out. So
you relate?
Yeah. It's like this,
we did face of the genital job.
Right. And sometimes that's the best way to learn.
Because, it's the only way, really, that I could, like, grasp every concept, pretty much.
Right.
Like, hands-on, just trying it out.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it, as Mr. LaBeouf would say. I show up and then I get a text finally from the AD at like 7 in the morning. It's been like 3 hours. I've been putting out chairs and like waiting to get a walkie. He goes, hey, meet me on set. We'll get you walkied up and we have to do some driving scenes. And I'm like, oh, cool. Driving scenes. Interesting. I get to set and it's like, there's like 200 people. They're all like kitting out cars. They're rigging a camera onto this vehicle with this big cage. The grip departments. There's all these trucks, special effects. All that. It's like, it's a lot. It's overwhelming. It's like a little, like a film set is like having an army of people working on one thing.
Yeah.
There's so many people, and they're all like very, usually very skilled, and well, some more than us, but most of them are very skilled, specialized in their trade. So, I get to set and they're like, hey, you're going to be working with this guy, Scooter Perota, who I still work with occasionally. He's a second AD and you're going to be helping set background for this driving scene. And this is like day one for me. I have no idea what I'm doing. And so I'm just kind of like, I have all the background and I'm like, hey, like, you're going to go here. You're going to do this. And I hear over the walkie, all right, DC just landed and Anna will be ready in like 15. And I'm like, DC?
Yeah.
And Anna, and I'm like, oh shit, that's Daniel Craig. That's Daniel Craig and Ana de Armas. Like I put two and two together because I'd read articles that said that they were filming Knives Out there. I'm like, by the way, a huge James Bond fan, like, for context, like all of the movies, even Sean Connery, even the like super misogynistic dated shit, which is like, has its place, is silly, but like, it's fun, it's goofy. But I particularly love the Daniel Craig movies. So Casino Royale is one of my top five.
Yeah, it's dope.
So to have him on set, I was like, this is so crazy. So he was on a process trailer, which is a big truck that tows the car that the actors are in. And on the process trailer is like, they'll have lights, they'll have the camera crew and stuff, and the people pulling focus, and the director being like, hey, giving action. And Rian Johnson was the one who directed the film and had done The Last Jedi, Looper, Brick, things like that, and obviously Knives Out and Glass Onion, the sequel as well. So yeah, I mean, it was just him driving around, and then that was really cool. I'm like, holy shit, Daniel Craig's driving past me. This is so rad. And I met him, and you know, he was super nice,
handsome.
Yes, yeah. he has a big head, and I mean that in like the best kind of way, because people who have big heads traditionally look really good on camera. Like, John Travolta has a huge head.
Mm.
This is what I've heard. I've never met him. But he had a, like, I wouldn't say it wasn't massive, but it was, like, perfectly some, like, shaped head. He just had a strong head on him.
Yeah.
Strong head. Which, out of context, sounds a bit strange.
Nice symmetry going on, you know?
Perfect symmetry. And yeah, and Chris Evans showed up, I think the second day I was there. I worked on it for, I think, a total of like 2.5 weeks.
Did you get to meet Chris Evans?
Chris Evans, I didn't meet personally, but I was like, saw him all the
also
time.
Handsome?
Oh yeah. 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 Very handsome.
You even have to ask.
I know, but sometimes celebrities don't look the same in real life.
No, he's one of those people, actually, who I was like, oh, God damn it. He is really, like, handsome.
Yeah.
Like, because you expect sometimes people
to look different. You can amplify it.
Yeah, he was very pale, but it was Boston in the winter, so
yeah.
That's fair.
And he's a Framingham guy.
Yeah, he's from Mass, yeah.
Yeah, he's from Framingham. I think I think his dad's, like, a dentist in Framingham.
Oh yeah,
like you
yeah.
can still go see his dad.
I know people who like went to college with him.
Yeah,
and I know people who have worked on like shows of his. Who like one of my friends went to like a house party that he had.
What?
And, yeah, yeah.
It's so cool.
I can't. I'll tell you guys off air some of the stories. But
Captain America, I would lose myself. He's so good at that movie.
Yeah, he was perfect. Perfect for that role. Yeah, he was. He's like, you know, handsome, tall dude, super nice. Had a dog on set that was like his.
Oh, his all right, we're good.
I'm
are you gonna watch all the Marvel movies now?
Yes.
That's all we
for
do.
For that reason
just,
only.
Chris Evans has a dog.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fucking. That is wild.
One of the cool things with him is I got to watch them do stunt scenes with the car chase when him and Ana de Armas are in the car.
Oh yeah.
And there was a scene where we had to lock off the road so like no pedestrians coming down. That's like part of what you do when you first start off is telling. Basically angry Bostonians, you can't come down here. And I was particularly good at that because I just don't give a fuck. It's like, hey, sorry. Like, you just be like a bit stern, but also polite, you know? But I got to watch like this cop car just crash into this dumpster over and over.
Oh,
they had all these different cars and they were just like, coming around the corner and Chris Evans getting out and, hey, how's it going, everyone? You know, looking all.
That's so cool.
Like a stud.
Is
so,
Jamie Lee Curtis in that?
She
brother.
Is.
Yeah.
I didn't get to meet her because they... Yeah. They filmed, I think all of her stuff was at the mansion.
Yeah, she's in the mansion scenes.
Which it's all filmed in Mass. I was under the impression that some of it was filmed in London.
Oh.
But it's all filmed in Massachusetts.
Wow.
Yeah, I know a couple people. Yeah.
It's funny too, because they kind of ug up Daniel Craig in that movie. And he has the weird accent.
Yeah.
Like, he's not the James Bond Daniel Craig.
Accent.
Yeah, he's got kind of a southern.
Southern draw.
Like northern Georgia specific. Like
I feel like it's Kentucky.
Or actually, I just keep thinking of Looney Tunes.
I think of
Sir.
The rooster, right?
Yeah, it kind of sounds like the rooster from Looney Tunes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, Space Jam for the young listeners.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I love Space Jam.
Yeah.
Wait, how old are you, Jenna?
I'm 30.
Okay, I'm 31. So
yeah.
We like to call. So this is Hey Roadie Media is not a young, everyone who works here has been here for like at least 10 years, like for the most part, like
yeah,
at least
my
sales
the team. Editorial, yeah, some
yeah.
have been
and
less.
There's people been here last,
seasoned.
But
seasoned,
like,
yes.
I'm the youngest one on my sales, of the sales team of when there's like 5 of us, I'm the youngest one by like at least a decade. It's because,
oh wow,
yeah.
And then it's me.
And I think you're the youngest, you might be the youngest
I'm the
one
youngest.
That works
yeah.
entire company. There's only like 13 of us. And we produce 4 magazines and a plethora of digital content, and it kind of blows our mind every month of how much shit we put out.
That's impressive.
Plus the podcast and a newly launched YouTube channel, which Jenna is one of the hosts.
Check out Hey Roadie Weekly to
yeah.
see all my mess ups because I have a great face
yeah.
for bloopers.
They showed that I just took the video and started making memes of all of them.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, they put out. I've only been here for like 6 months. But it's awesome. Yeah, we put out. It's the closest to like SNL I think I'll ever get because every month it's like we have like deadlines we have to hit. Like, all right, we got them all out.
Yeah.
Here's the next one. We're
right.
always like 2 months out, but it's wild. I do want to make sure we talk about the movie that you're here to promote your funding
oh,
for.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna even use a moment to. I know for a fact that you met your poster designer through your wife, who met him at our podcast
meeting
at Debian's. Shout out Brian. We love Brian Malloy. He's going to come on the show.
This is like so Rhode Island.
Yeah.
It's just all
the
connections.
It really is. And
yeah.
I met Brian Malloy many years ago at the flea market.
Oh, really?
He have you ever seen his like other stuff, like his popcorn?
That's adorable. What a cute.
Were you stalking him?
What a
no.
Cute.
He makes these, he makes, what they call them, like alternative movie posters.
Yes.
Like, you know, you saw the style. Like, he showed
the
me
pop
your,
art. They're kind of like pop art.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
He showed me your thing the other night. I'm not sure if I was supposed
to see.
He
showed you my thing. I didn't
your,
know.
Just your thing. Your design, your
oh,
poster,
okay.
which is incredible.
just
no
the thing.
But years ago, I'd always go to the flea for like years, and he makes them for all these different movies. So I bought, my brother and I, my family, we just bought tons of them.
Cause did he sell them?
Yeah, that's why he would just be at the flea selling them for fun. I was like a hobby.
I thought you guys were just browsing porcelain.
No, and then I would just it was over like 3 years, three or four Josh years. Keeps... Every time I go buy a poster from him, I would end up talking to him for like a half. And yeah. Then years later, I needed a podcast logo to do my show. And he was the first one I reached out to, and he was really kind because he's a super professional.
Yeah.
But he was one of those people who, like, at that time, he was like, I'll take this on for a price you can afford because I want to do something
fun. That's what he did for us. I'm kind of, he's so nice and professional. I'm kind of pissed his voice doesn't match his appearance.
Yeah.
His face.
He's, because he looks kind of very manly and masculine. Like, he's a tough
dude. Well, he sounds, I pictured him like, yeah, just like kind of a little bit like nerdy.
No, he's a tough New York
kind of
guy.
Brown hair, yeah. Glasses, kind of like Harry Potter.
Could like fit in a frat party.
But yeah, you said that he's like, he's got a beard. He's like bald. Is he bald?
I don't remember. Sorry, Brian.
You don't remember?
Yeah.
You were too busy staring into his eyes.
Beautiful, luxurious eyes.
Yeah. Oh my God.
He always has a hat on, so probably.
I still have yet to see him.
Oh, you guys never met?
I've never met him in person. I've only talked to him over the phone. And
are you kidding? Because I've talked to him about you multiple times.
Oh, really?
I just saw him last week. Yeah, he was telling me that about the thing.
That thing.
About
the poster. You can say it.
The poster, yeah. So Lauren connected you guys?
I don't want anyone to be confused about what we're talking about.
How did that happen? Because I had nothing to do with it. I just know.
So Lauren was like, Lauren met him at the podcast meetup.
Yeah, we were
and said, hey, yeah. And I was looking initially. I didn't want to use AI art to do it, and it's not as an iterative process. Like, you can't really go back and forth with AI. Like, you give them prompts, but it just I couldn't get anything that I really wanted.
Yeah.
It was not even really close, to be honest. And so I was like using Midjourney stuff. I'm like, this kind of sucks. Like, I want to give money to someone to, like, you know, I want to support someone's artistic endeavors. So Lauren gave me his contact info, and I reached out to his Instagram, DM'd him on Instagram. He reached back to me and he was like, hey, I'm interested. I just needed artwork. Like, initially it was just like concept art. And then I said, okay, let's do like a poster, and I need artwork for like social media, thumbnails, that kind of thing. And initially my idea for what it was going to be was totally different than what it ended up being. It was more photorealistic and... But like the same elements were there, like the cage bars and the bucket of water and the kind of like underground prison set. And he just kind of took it and ran with it. And I think that what he ended up with was really cool. Cool. Yeah.
I don't know when it's released publicly, but it was cool.
It was rad. Yeah. It's up on Instagram.
It was a little spooky, to be honest.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It is.
I guess it's supposed to be like the green.
Yeah. Yeah.
I learned so much about, like, color and design just from, like, having conversations with him.
Right.
Because one time I commissioned him to do a piece for my anniversary. My wife's an obsessive Star Wars fan.
Oh, I love
Star Wars. To the umpteenth degree. I didn't watch it until I met her kind of thing.
Yeah.
But she's, like, the tattoo and everything. So I got our wedding, for our 10th wedding anniversary, I had him make, like, a movie poster of our wedding, but as Star Wars, in the style of Star Wars.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet.
So trying to understand what he was talking about was, like... because I have my ideas. He's like, oh, that would be good, but, you know, the red and this opaque and color wheels. I'm like, what? Like, he's such a fucking nerd of design that he even went and learned the Star Wars language to put like October 20th, 2013 in Star Wars language.
Right? Yeah.
Which I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But, like, that's his level of nerdery.
Like, right, like he used like an alien language?
Or yeah, something? I guess there's a language within Star Wars.
Maybe he's like Wookiee or
wasn't Wookiee,
whatever Jabba the Hutt.
If you hear this, they're going to kill me. You should know this. It's Klingon
in Star Trek.
I do that to them on purpose. I do that to my wife all the time.
I've never been much of a Star Trek
fan. Yeah. But so can you tell us about the... why do we have to call it a short film?
Because it is a short film.
We don't call like a regular film a long film.
Yeah, no, but it just
yeah, but I know it's a short.
Yeah, it just kind of categorizes it a little bit better. So it's the short film is called Till I Rot. It's a psychological thriller. It was kind of interesting. The process of conceptualizing it was very strange and kind of roundabout. So we're gonna dip a little bit in tone, but don't worry, I'm gonna like bring us back up. Okay.
Sounds good.
Real quick, okay.
Buckle up.
So. Buckle up, right? Exactly. So essentially what happened was My mom, who love her, God rest her soul, she was sick for a long time. She passed away. When she passed away, there was a lot of like stuff I had to process, baggage, just like anytime you have a loved one who passes away, yeah. Right? So one thing that kind of stood out to me was like, you know, the process of mourning, I think, is different for everyone. For me, I like to sit down and write. It kind of helps. It's very cathartic for me. So I was trying to write something and kind of coming up against a little bit of a block. Mm. One night I went to bed and I had a series of these very intense dreams. I wouldn't necessarily call them nightmares, but they were very dark in tonality and very vivid. And a lot of times when you wake up from a dream, you like remember bits and pieces when you first wake up, but then it starts to fade away.
Yeah.
Like over time, you know, I woke up straight up in like a cold sweat, like, wow, that was intense. Like it shocked me awake. I remember every detail, not only when I first woke up, but for like weeks afterwards.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was so clear, every detail of the dream. I had that same set of dreams. It was like kind of three condensed stories almost, at least five more times, like repeat dreams. Which I don't know, like to me that's weird. That doesn't really happen to me. Like maybe I'll have a recurring dream every once in a while. But so I had these crazy dreams and then I was like, I'm going to therapy, I'm processing everything, you know. And I sat down to write and I realized that like the more I reflected on this series of dreams, they kind of had like this thematic tether to them. Whereas before they seemed just kind of separate and weird and just sort of like esoteric. But I sat down and I was like, oh, okay, there's like a lot I can mine from these dreams. And so I sat down to write and it just was immediate. It wasn't like I didn't have to do much thinking. It just kind of all poured out. And so I took the framework of the dreams and kind of built a story and a narrative around them and combined in themes that were important to me. And that I thought would be connect with a wider audience and could be interpreted. So those fun popcorn action movies you're talking about, this ain't it. this is more of something that takes a little bit more thought and consideration, and it's a more of a meditative process, I would say. There is, because I didn't want it to be like too much of like a David Lynch kind of like weird drag, there is horror elements in it, so it is kind of scary and weird, and there's enough of a plot there that you can kind of stick with it and stay on the rails without it getting a little bit too out there.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like an acid trip, but it is a pretty surreal and strange. I sat down and wrote it, and then I started thinking like, how can I make this work? Like logistically, how can I make this film? Because like, it may be important to me, but other people might see it and be like, okay, like sure, it's important to you because you're mom, but why should I give a shit about it?
Yeah.
So I started sending it out to people and being like, to people I trust and saying, hey, like, what do you think? Like, honestly, your honest opinion, I want to know. And they all said, they were like, this is really weird, but I can picture every single detail vividly what you're writing, and they all had kind of different interpretations about a lot of it. Some of it, though, some of the main visual metaphors were very consistent across the board, and so I thought that was kind of fascinating. I'm like, oh, so I have something here that everyone has kind of a different interpretation about, but it's still interesting and engaging, and to me that's very exciting. I like that, you know. It's almost like I guess it's almost like having like a Rubik's cube and you're kind of like, the way everyone solves it is different.
Yeah.
You know? And so the main like log line is, let's see. The dreamer must journey through realms of perception in order to confront past trauma and escape the prison within his mind. It's pretty intense.
Wow. Yeah. I'm like, hold on, let me process this.
Yeah, yeah. So it starts off in the middle of essentially a dream. Like, you know how you wake up in a dream, you don't know how you got there? Mm-hmm. That's how it starts off. It's in this like this really crazy dingy attic apartment with these like wide hickory floorboards. It's dusty and the walls are like that cracked plaster that like that landlord specially get when you do bad plaster on the wall.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like this teal, like teal, dark green, greenish blue. And there's like cobwebs and there's these like old rusted farm sink. And there's like a guy, the dreamer, sitting at this table. There's a big window behind him, which is the only source of light. And across the room, in the corner of the room, is a character we call the Wraith, who is, she's a female character. And she's basically, I would say, like a ghost, essentially. Like if you're familiar with a Wraith in mythology, it's essentially like from Celtic folklore. It's a female ghost who kind of died or perished in a way that was like violent. And so there's like echoes of her.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. So,
look at Chris.
Yeah,
it's like getting scared.
It's you should be, motherfucker.
That's the point.
What is Lauren like? What's going on in your head?
Yeah, right. I'm crazy. So, and then kind of next to her is this big, one of the big visual elements of the movie is this big cast iron wood stove, which is straight out of the dream, and it's so big, like it's like massive, like it could swallow a person, and kind of sort of spoiler alert, it sort of does, and it leads into this other dimension which goes into the next dream, and the dreamer basically wakes up and finds himself in a cage, like a rebar cage, and he's
is making so much more sense to
yes so we call it the underground prison set, but it's I don't want to reveal too much, but essentially he wakes up in this prison, and he's kind of there's a character that is keeping him there, and they kind of have a dialogue back and forth that's really eerie and weird, and the gist of it being is like the cage is, I think, the main visual metaphor of Till I Rot, and to me it's kind of like it represents mental illness.
Yeah.
It's like the sometimes when you are depressed or anxious or whatever, you kind of feel like you're locked within yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to escape that.
Yeah.
It almost seems like a recurring pattern. And to kind of overcome those boundaries and sort of break free from that, it becomes like a place of sickness and decay, but also a comfort.
Yeah.
Because it's comfortable, you know that. Like you're very acquainted with that feeling. So it's almost scarier to leave that prison and break free from it, because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know, like you could go off and flourish, or you could crash and burn. You don't know.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's easier just kind of like withdraw and become introverted. And so that's kind of what that cage represents. It's that mental prison that we all that people with mental, who struggle with mental health, kind of lock themselves in. That's the metaphor. There's a lot that happens around that.
Mm.
And we have some really, really cool locations that we're filming at. And one of them is actually this farmhouse in New Hampshire that was built in the 1700s. And so it's got this really creepy old, like it's beautiful, it's huge. So there's a lot of exciting stuff going on with it. And we have a Seed and Spark that we're launching May 1st.
A what?
A Seed and Spark. So
it's
like a Kickstarter. Okay. It's like a Kickstarter Indiegogo, but Seed and Spark historically does better for films for whatever reason. And we are, we're launching May 1st. And basically just anyone who wants to go follow the page, we have an Instagram, Till I Rot Film, and donations, sharing, like any way people can just like engage and get the word out. Huge, huge for us. We have a group of like really talented people who I've worked with in film. And who all are like kind of have come into their own as filmmakers, and they're my age or older, so you know, like some of them have kids, a lot of them are married, you know,
yeah,
it's not like it's not like a student film is what I'm saying. We're really stoked to get underway. We're building our own sets, props, everything.
This is real DIY.
Real DIY. Yeah.
What's the number you want to hit?
We're looking to raise 16K.
Oh,
altogether. Yeah.
I thought you were gonna say like 600.
No. It's a 15-minute short film. The biggest thing is like, we want to pay the cast and crew, which like on a short film it's not always guaranteed, but that's possible. But we really would like to, and And then obviously camera equipment, all the rentals and everything.
Yeah, of course.
It's costly. And then festival fees. That's where we want it to be distributed. That's where we think it will play the best.
Yeah.
Is festivals. It's just one of those things. It's like short films don't really get picked up for distribution or make a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's the festival circuit that they tend to do well in. And I,
yeah. It's like the thing that leads you to the next thing, kind of.
Exactly.
Mostly, yeah.
Exactly. Yep.
You know what the cutest thing is that your wife, Lauren, who we keep shouting out, is like, project manager, she called, or no.
She's the production manager.
Yeah, she basically, she's the one texted me, like, can Nathan come on the podcast?
Is that okay? I was like, yeah.
That is so cute. We invited her, but she had to work like a sucker.
Yeah, she's going to be on Don't Be Jealous, but we're going on Codex Prime tonight.
Two in one day?
Yeah.
This is like Cardinal.
No, it's
like,
a big one.
Oh, well, shout out to say hello to Carl and Victor. We're going to get her on here, too, because they have a podcast, too. Do our Reddit questions. You're gonna be the first one. Jenna has come up with yet another new segment, because the fun thing about throwing someone in the water doing a podcast is Jenna's different than me. She like tries.
It's the teacher in me.
Yeah,
I like a little structure.
So I can see the dynamic.
She's it's yeah. made the show much better. Take that, Nick. No, I'm just kidding. Nick and Sasha were awesome. We love them.
Okay. Let
so
me.
I actually don't know how this works either.
It's the first for you too.
Yeah.
So ready? What I'm gonna do. I'll explain it to you. I'm going to read the Reddit. It's from the Am I the Asshole thread.
Oh, and they love them.
It has to do with Rhode Island. So I know if, like, the consensus was if they were an asshole or not. Yeah. But I want to hear, like, your guys' take on it.
Love it.
This is such a good idea.
That's a really good idea.
I know.
Oh, yeah. It's.
So, I've done this for 10 years, and she's done this for, like, 3 months and it's already better.
She's killing it.
Okay, ready?
That's every episode comes into, like.
Each have your strengths.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll find mine someday. You're going to interrupt him.
Okay, ready? Am I the asshole for telling a girl to shut the fuck up on the train? I work in the financial sector in New England, and for the last month, 3 days out of every week have seen me traveling between the New England states to do all of our offices on behalf of my boss to check in and check progress and whatnot. My most recent was yesterday. I was in Rhode Island checking out our Providence location. And this morning I caught the earliest train, which is 5 a.m. I settled in my seat and hoped for a nap between RI and New York. This young woman got on and took the seat beside me. For the first half hour or so, she was quiet, but then she made a phone call and boy, was she loud. People were trying to sleep. Apparently, she had been in RI for a job interview and it went well. I'm not sure who she was talking to, but every other word was a squeal about how excited she was, how she couldn't wait for graduation, how she had really impressed her interviewer without even trying. She was a shoo-in, etc., etc. I noticed people were starting to be disturbed by this girl, but they were also looking at
him.
Yeah, but they were also looking at me like I was to blame as well. Then the young girl actually screamed with delight and said they were all going out that night to celebrate. The whole time she was bouncing around like a little flea on a dog's hiney and knocking into me. Not roughly, but when you're trying to sleep, it's jarring. Finally, I tapped her on the shoulder and asked her to look around. Did she see anyone else on their cell phone? I was polite, but I told her in no uncertain terms that she was being rude and she should knock it off. She hung up and she seemed really embarrassed for the rest of the trip, and then we arrived at her stop. She ran off without looking at me. Did I do the right thing, or was I an asshole?
I know the answer.
See, here's the thing. They work in finance.
Yeah.
And that's immediately just like, maybe you were. But based off their story, that girl sounds kind of annoying. That's what Texans for at 5 a.m.
Yeah, here's the thing. So they're both assholes, right?
Okay.
They're both assholes, right? Because number one, well, first off, he didn't tell her to shut the fuck up.
I know, so
that
I don't.
That was in the title.
Yeah.
That's an old bait and switch for me to read.
That was headline, what do you call that?
Headline jack or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's not.
Bait.
A hook.
Kind of like one of those, something.
Clickbait.
Yeah.
So first off, the train is not for you to sleep on, okay? I'm sorry, but there's going to be people there who are talking and active and doing things, and that's fine, you know? I understand if you're trying to get some rest, but, like, that's not what the train's for.
Yeah, or, like, bring headphones.
Yeah. Right? Also, though, that girl should have probably had more self-awareness. Like, I find it really annoying, actually, when people are like talking on speakerphone in public, being super fucking loud. It's annoying.
I can't stand it.
Yeah, it's definitely annoying. But, like, it's also, the train is not your personal, like, you know, you don't have like a, it's like, it's one of those trains, like European trains, where you have like a little place to sleep and she came into your cot and was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're kind of both, they're kind of both being a little bit.
I wonder if they're, was like open seats he could have moved to.
Yeah, let me move, or like.
I think he handled it well by being like, hey, could you please not?
I almost
But the girl
wish...
was also just got her job. You know what I mean? So
it's 5:30. Yeah, I don't know.
You're right. Did you say it's 5:30 in the morning?
He got on the train at 5, a half hour of quiet. So this is 5:30 in the morning. She was talking on the
phone.
That is kind
of. I mean, that's like, that's.
But on a plane, when it's. But they know they turn the lights off on the planet, and when they do like a red eye, so they kind of like keep it calm and quiet.
I'm consistently shocked by the lack of self-awareness people have in public places.
Yeah,
like, I'm so aware of what I'm doing and how I'm acting in public.
Usually.
I guess I'm gonna say I don't think he was like an asshole. He was an ass.
If he was like, hey, shut the fuck up.
That's an asshole.
I kind of wish he was like that.
It would be kind of funny, actually. Yeah, I don't think he's really being an asshole.
The fact that they said they work in finance really.
Yeah, you that really.
Was like, well, maybe
yeah, that triggered you. What happened there?
Finance bros. That's just a stereotype.
I almost wore a Patagonia sweater here.
You would have triggered him.
I don't know. Just.
I actually hyped.
That's a really good one.
What was the consensus?
What did the people on the Reddit
say? You ready? Yeah. Not the asshole. Not
the asshole.
Yeah, okay. I think there's a polite way to say, can you please be quiet?
I think that that's what we landed on as well.
Well, the headline made it sound.
Yeah, like he was just
like he told some young girl to shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I think he handled it well.
This is a cool game. Nathan, this has been so much fun. Where can the people find you online and stuff?
Yeah, so my Instagram is Nathan David Walker. The short film, which is what I'm more concerned with, is the Till I Rot film. And like I said, once again, we're going live on May 1st on Seed and Spark. Till I Rot short film. Please go support it. Follow the page. Share it with your friends and family. I would even love you more if you gave money. So. Not that I have favorites, but you know. We're really excited to get underway, and thank you guys so much for having me. I had a blast.
This is so fun. So we like to end the show because we're both, right when we started, I just became obsessive with the show The Bear.
Okay.
And so now we like to end it with Let It Rip on a three. Will you give us all three of us on a three count? We'll do a good Let It Rip.
Let It Rip. All right. Yeah.
On one, two, three.
Let It Rip.